just.
Okay, to go to the next slide, you can do the arrow, or you can click.
Over here.
Okay.
I'd rather do that.
Okay, I'd like to thank you all for letting us present to you about our research looking at infants born at the threshold of viability in Colorado. We were particularly interested in the association between ventilation and survival in this high-risk group, and I would just like to point out that one of the study's co-authors, Regina Cox, is also sitting in the audience. Providing life support or not to extremely premature infants is an ongoing debate. At the greater extremes of prematurity, survival decreases, and in those who survive, the incidence of morbidity increases. From a previous study by one of our study's co-authors, Dr. Kamath, it was found that the neonatal mortality rate in Colorado had not improved over the past decade, staying at about 4.4 per thousand. We know that prematurity is the primary contributor to neonatal mortality in Colorado, and that's evidenced in the following slide. In Dr. Kamath's study, she defined threshold of viability based on birth weight being less than 750 grams, and it's shown here in this yellow-orange color, and that's a definition previously put forth by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And as you see in this slide, there is a greater proportion of infants from the threshold of viability group contributing to total neonatal deaths in the later time period. So from this information, we understood that neonatal mortality or the neonatal mortality rate had not improved, and we knew that more premature infants were contributing to neonatal mortality. However, little remained known about ventilation in this extremely premature group in Colorado and how ventilation in this population affects the neonatal mortality rate. We felt that further information regarding the success of ventilation might enable providers to better counsel parents of such patients. So for the time period 1991 to 2003, our objectives were to describe trends in neonatal ventilation and survival for infants born at 22 to 25 weeks gestation. We also described trends in fetal death and also wanted to evaluate the association between ventilation and neonatal survival in infants born at the threshold of viability. Before we delve into the details of the study, I just want to mention we have a few terms to define. We used the definition of live birth put forth by the state of Colorado, and I'll give you a few seconds to look at that, but read fast. And unlike the previous study I mentioned, we define threshold of viability based on gestational age, and there's a few authors, or several authors actually, two of which are listed on this slide that support that approach, as clinical decisions are often based on gestational age and is felt to have more meaningful outcomes. We also defined three time periods, and these were previously described by Dr. Fanaroff. The first time period from 1991 to 1995 represents widespread use of surfactant and limited use of antenatal steroids. The second time period, 1996 to 2000, represents continued use of surfactant and widespread use of antenatal steroids. And the third time period is less well-defined, but represents increased use of new ventilation techniques such as nitric oxide and other strategies. So our hypotheses were that survival will improve over time based on advancements in resuscitation practices. Survival of infants of older gestational ages will be associated with ventilation more than survival of infants of younger gestational ages. And we felt there is a gestational age at which ventilation is not significantly associated with survival. So in order to test these hypotheses, we performed a retrospective cohort study using linked birth and death certificate data from Colorado. Our primary outcome was survival beyond 28 days, and our primary exposure variable was resuscitation or any ventilation in this case. We were also interested in the associations between ventilation and survival by birth year and gestational age. Here I've listed the variables that we included, And we performed a logistic regression, forcing the primary and secondary exposures into the model, and used a stepwise selection to identify significant covariates. So this is a graph of our study population. There are about 780,000 births in Colorado during the specified time period. Our inclusion criteria were infants born at 22 to 25 weeks gestation, and that was based on the best clinical estimate, either last menstrual period or clinical estimate at the time of birth by the obstetrician. We ended up eliminating 15 records, either because death was recorded prior to birth or because there was no birth weight information. We were interested at the outset to know if the reason we weren't seeing an improvement in the neonatal mortality was that a greater proportion of younger infants were being born in the later time period. However, as you see in this table, there were equal proportions of each of the gestational ages over the three time periods. And this represents a graph in trends in neonatal ventilation. On the y-axis, we have percent ventilated, and on the x-axis, we have birth year. This black line represents infants 22 weeks gestation. And as you move up the graph, it's increasing gestational age. So infants 25 and 24 weeks gestation had higher rates of ventilation over the time period compared to this shaded area, which represents the total population, and infants 22 and 23 weeks gestation. And this graph represents trends in neonatal survival. Again, on the y-axis we have percent survived, and on the x-axis we have time. Again, this black line represents 22 weeks gestation, and as you move up, you have increasing gestational age. And you see here that the older infants, 25, 24 week gestation, were more likely to survive than the total population in the shaded area, and the infants 22 to 23 weeks gestation. And similar to the previous graph, there's no real clear pattern over time. These next few slides represent the characteristics of our study population. In the first column, we have infant characteristics. Second column, percent survived. And then this p-value represents a comparison between those infants that survived to those who died. Infants that were ventilated and were of older gestational age were more likely to survive, and there was no association between birth year and survival. Similarly, infants of higher birth weight and female gender were more likely to survive, but there was no association between race and survival. Infants that were born by C-section were more likely to survive, as well as infants born at level 3 facility centers, and infants of mothers that had been transported were also more likely to survive. There was no association between being an infant of a multiple gestation and survival. However, infants without congenital anomalies were more likely to survive. So this bar graph represents summary results of our look at the association between ventilation and survival by gestational age. Using our 22-week not ventilated group as the reference group, you can see among the ventilated infants, there's an increase in survival by gestational age from an odds of 7.3 up to an odds of 17.1. Similarly, in looking at the not ventilated group, there's an increase in survival by gestational age, moving from 1 up to 9.6. Looking within each gestational age, you can see that there's an increase in survival with ventilation. However, looking more closely at the 25-week gestation group, you see the point estimate for the not ventilated 25-week gestation group was 9.6, and this is included in the confidence interval for the ventilated 25-week gestation group, suggesting that this association is less strong in the older gestational age. And this is a summary of our look at the association between ventilation and survival by time period. We have odds of survival on the y-axis and time periods and whether the infant was ventilated or not on the x-axis. Using the not ventilated in the earliest time period as the reference group, you can see over the time periods in the ventilated group, there's really no improvement in odds of survival, staying about 2.3. Similarly, in the not ventilated group, there's no real improvement in survival. However, within each time period, those infants that were ventilated, there was an improvement in survival. We wondered if this lack of improvement in survival over time might be related to more aggressive efforts with younger infants. And by that we mean that some infants that in an earlier time period would have been considered a fetal death were now being considered a live birth. And so on this graph we have percent fetal deaths, and then we have time here, and you can see that the colors have switched from the previous slides. The 22 and 23-week gestation infants represented a higher percentage of the fetal deaths at the beginning of the time period and a more drastic decline over the time period. And we think this might be a cause for some of the results we had. There are several limitations to this study. There are limitations to birth certificate data being incorrect or inaccurate, and Colorado is no exception. There are many ethical and moral decisions that go into deciding whether to resuscitate an infant or not, which are not captured in birth certificate data. And similarly to there being limitations to using birth weight as the threshold of viability definition, there's limitations to using gestational age, and I'm sure some of you are familiar with Tyson's recent article looking at a composite of four variables to determine threshold of viability. There are other resuscitation efforts that are simply not captured in this study, like the use of steroids or nitric oxide or gent ventilation. And we have no way of teasing out whether it was the healthier infants that were the ones being resuscitated and thereby introducing selection bias into this study. Also, the morbidity of these infants is unknown, and we feel like that information would be very important for parents making decisions about whether their infant should be resuscitated or not. So our conclusions are that survival for infants born at the threshold of viability did not increase over time despite ventilation efforts and known advancements in care. Survival was more strongly associated with ventilation in infants of younger gestational age. We did not discover a gestational age at which ventilation was not significantly associated with improved survival. However, we'd like to pause here and mention that we did present this data to neonatologists at the University of Colorado. And from their clinical experience, they don't understand how infants at these gestational ages can survive without ventilation, which was one of the findings of our study. And this causes some words of caution in interpretation. We also want to make it clear that we are not advocating resuscitating all infants at these younger gestational ages because survival alone may not be the most important outcome. And so our suggestions for future research are to assess morbidity of infants born at the threshold of viability in Colorado, as that could influence parents' decisions regarding resuscitation. And we also suggest, given the questions that we have regarding the quality of the data, to evaluate more robust ways to track resuscitation efforts. And I guess.
Thank you. Our final speaker is Allison Pyle from Virginia Mason Medical Center. She's involved in clinical education of nursing students, and the title of her presentation is American Indian and Alaska Native Infant Deaths in the Pacific Northwest, Identifying Prevention Areas Using the Perinatal Periods of Risk Method. And let's see if we can get these slides happening.